Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Radio.com app is the official new home of 92.9 FM ESPN. Download it today to listen anytime, anywhere. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. Ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. I ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm not going to get no interview.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bottles popping up because you know where there's rubble and dust. Cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say,
good morning, buddy, and happy Tuesday. So, do you have any aunts?
Aunts?
Well, aunts. Not aunts, as they would say up north. Aunts.
Oh, yes. I have two.
Aunts are kind of cool.
I guess, yes, two.
Right? Aunts are, like, you can have, I think some people have beloved aunts. Don't you think that's true? That they're,
yes.
I think most people have, you always hear about the crazy uncle. And it's the beloved aunt.
Yes.
Don't you think that's true?
That seems fair. That seems like a very fair
generalization. Yeah. And I had a beloved uncle. Uncle North. I had an Uncle North and an Uncle Speed. Both. And Uncle North, guess what his brother's name was?
South.
Exactly. His name was South. And there was North. And there was a separate, unrelated Uncle Speed.
Of course, you liked the one called North.
North was the best. North had polio. He had gotten it because he was in the Foreign Service, and he was, I think, in the Philippines. And he got polio, and he was paralyzed from the waist down. But he was the jolliest guy in the world. And he would drag himself down to the lake, and he'd have a floaty, like one of those mattresses, yep. Air mattresses, mm-hmm. And he'd swim. And then the other thing he did is that we were a family that just had sailboats and canoes. And, like, my parents thought motorboats were, you know, loud right. And bad for the environment sure. And that stuff. And Uncle North was like,
cheating
screw
too.
That. I'm getting a speedboat.
I respect that.
And so he would rent a speedboat and take us out water skiing and whatever else. And so he was the best. But,
yes, because at one point a horse was considered good transportation.
Right. This is a true story. We have a little putt-putt on this little cabin. We have a little putt-putt motor, and it gave out. And we were deciding what kind of motor to put on the back. And my dad decided that the five horsepower was probably too much, and he wanted to get the three horsepower.
Too rich for his blood.
He wanted to get the three horsepower, so we get a three freaking horsepower. That's the kind of family we are. Anyway, this up because this is not apropos of anything, but literally 2 minutes before the show began, I got an email saying that my Aunt Marion died. And I'm not broken up about it because my Aunt Marion lived a long life. She's 92. Probably hadn't seen her in a year and a half. She lived in Oregon, and she's my mom's sister. But she was there are two points here. One is, one of my theories of life, and we talked about it with Anthony Bourdain and with everybody else, is that people have stuff. Everybody has stuff. Everybody has challenges. And my Aunt Marion had a lot of them. Lived a life of great. in some ways, you know, she went to the University of Wisconsin. She became, in mid-career, she became a lawyer. And she was very successful and all that. She had four children, okay? There was real sadness in her life. Because of the four children, Ramsey became he became the keyboard player for the Pointer Sisters.
Okay.
Really talented musician, Ramsey. And he's still alive and doing fine and out there in Oregon. I don't think he no longer plays for the Pointer Sisters, even if the Pointer Sisters are still around. But he was a talented, kind of wacky, but talented musician. Lucy Embeck, she moved to Germany, married a German guy, and she ended up getting ovarian cancer and died of ovarian cancer. So Aunt Marion had to bury Lucy about 10 years ago, maybe. Eleanor went to Wellesley, and she became a on-the-streets drug addict, like that. And so she had great sadness about Eleanor. And then Andy, her son, he was a star. Went to, I think, Harvard Medical School, Pomona College, Harvard mm-hmm. Medical School, Rhodes Scholar, mountain climber, world-class mountain climber.
Right there.
Stories written about him as a mountain climber, etc. And at a certain age in his life, he was a very mercurial fellow. He took his father's shotgun, got in a kayak, went out to the middle of the ocean and shot himself. So there you have four children. Ramsey's still alive. Lucy's gone. Andy's gone. Eleanor has struggled. She ended up, her husband was a football player at the University of Wisconsin, Richard Embeck. He died. He was an orthopedist. She ended up marrying his orthopedic partner. And but the other thing about this is that she was my favorite aunt. Like, she was the aunt. We had nine kids, and so we had a pretty tough, regimented. It was regimented. Let's just say that there was not a lot of wiggle room and not a lot of soft and sweetness in my family growing up. That just wasn't the way it was.
There was no time for that.
And she was the sweet one. Like she. I entered a doubles tennis tournament, mixed doubles tennis tournament, when I was probably seven, and she was whatever 40 something or what. And she was awesome tennis player. And she just, I couldn't play tennis, but she just loved me and loved, you know, encouraged me. And she was my beloved aunt. And so I think at probably about age 92, she has passed away. And it made me think that we should appreciate the beloved aunts. Like those people, you got mom and dad, if you're lucky, and you got your siblings who you mostly love, right?
Yeah.
And then there's the greater constellation of family.
Yeah.
And in this community, a lot of people are raised by the greater constellation of family, whether it's a grandmother or an aunt or whatever else. But I do think that those other folks, the aunts and the uncles, they can fill in. And that's what Aunt Marion did for me. She filled in with some of the encouragement and softness and that a young kid needed. And so anyway, I want to celebrate all the beloved aunts out there. Because I know we all have them and I don't know that we take them for granted, but they are a blessing that we often don't, think about. All right. Enough of that. On the show today, very excited about the lineup. Joe Mullinex is going to, join us in the next segment. He is, of course, site manager of SB Nation's Grizzly Bear Blues. We'll talk to him. This is going to be a heavy Grizz draft. It's a start where we are starting to crank up. And doesn't it feel like it's starting to be in earnest now?
Yeah, I've even noticed like
pussyfooting.
Yeah, I've even noticed like I'm getting more questions about. So what's like more draft
questions?
What's
gonna now we're bare, and it's only a week and a couple days away.
Yeah.
The games are over, and so we're going to start flushing this out.
Yeah.
I actually think at some point we might get someone from the three cities ahead of the Grizzlies and get, maybe we'll pick one day. And we'll get someone from Arizona, someone from Sacramento, and someone from Atlanta, and then we'll figure out what they're doing, and then that'll tell us what the Grizzlies are doing.
Yep, done. Problem solved.
So Joe Mullinax is going to join us in the next segment. Chris Harrington, so thrilled that he is back. He is going to join us again at 10:01. And then my favorite Polynesian wrestler, Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe is going to join us WWE SmackDown Live at FedEx Forum tonight at 7 o'clock. What do you think Samoa Joe weighs?
Like 280.
280. He's a big man.
Joe's a big dude.
I showered this morning.
Yeah.
Because I know when like there's a star like this, Brad likes to come in here and take a picture of and so there'll be a picture of me and Samoa Joe.
I'll let you know a little secret.
What?
Y'all are both huge dog guys.
Really?
Yeah.
He likes dogs.
Huge. He's a huge like rescue dog.
Rescue dog. Oh, well, I'll talk to him. Let him make a note of that. Dogs. Samoa Joe.
Big dog guy.
Big dog guy. Anyway, he is really, I was reading about Samoa Joe today.
He's awesome, isn't he?
He has worked himself up.
he's had a full career.
He has been through like things that he started in Ultimate Pro Wrestling. In Ultimate Pro Wrestling, he was told at the end of he met with Brian Pritchard and Jim Ross. Are they famous people? Bruce Pritchard and Jim Ross. And they told him he didn't have a future in Ultimate Pro Wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bruce Pritchard has the biggest podcast in all of wrestling. And Jim Ross is considered to be the greatest announcer in the history of wrestling.
They told him he didn't have a future.
Exactly.
And then he goes to Pro Wrestling 01, which is like in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrestles there for a while. And then they ended up wanting him to do something extraordinarily gimmicky, and he said, because he's got integrity, I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know all this?
Yep.
Then he does Ring of Honor, where he was a monster in Ring of Honor, I think. And then he does, then he leaves that for the independent circle. Then he does total nonstop action wrestling.
RIP.
That's gone?
It's been rebranded to Impact, but yeah, the original version, yes.
He did that and had was both a champion and like an incredible winning streak there. And then only after all of that does he go to WWE in 2015, and he's now become a hugely popular dude.
Yes, I would say he's probably one of the top five most like popular current guys.
Worked himself up.
We love him because
nothing
he's like so
to him on a silver platter.
He's so good at his job. We all love him.
His job being,
He is a bad A, if you will.
Yeah,
and he's awesome on the mic.
Well, good. We got a mic right here.
Exactly.
So we'll have him in the second hour. So that's the lineup: Joe Mullinax, Chris Harrington, and of course Samoa Joe. But today I'm going to tell you who the Grizzlies are going to draft, and I'm going to tell you this. I may change my mind between now and when it comes, but today I'm going to tell you who
they're going to draft today.
And I'm going to tell you this in wake of all the news that happened yesterday, okay? The news yesterday was as follows. First of all, Jaren Jackson Jr. had a quote-unquote monster workout for the Phoenix Suns.
Gosh, I love monster workouts.
I love monster workouts. I've never had a monster workout in my life. But he had a monster workout for the Phoenix Suns, according to Adrian Wojnarowski. Now, if you're the cynical type, you'd say, how would anyone know?
Again.
Right? You would say, how would anyone know? The media's not in there, and the other teams aren't in there.
Right.
And so Phoenix, they're not going to draft him. So who's saying he had a monster workout?
Jeff, it's my favorite time of the year. It's smokescreen season.
Right. So he had a monster workout. He may well have had a monster workout.
We don't know.
We don't know if he had a monster workout. It is weird. These NBA draft workouts, as much as you may mock the NFL pro days, those suckers are on TV.
Yes.
Like, we watch them on NFL Network.
Yes, we can see the throws.
So when, for example, what's his name from LSU, the quarterback?
Zach Mettenberger?
No, the guy who went number one.
From LSU? Oh, Jamarcus Russell.
Jamarcus Russell. When he has a monster workout.
Right. When he throws it from 100 yards from his knees.
And he did have a monster. We at least can see the monster workout.
Exactly.
Right? We can see the monster workout. When Teddy Bridgewater has a crappy workout, we can see the crappy workout.
Yes.
These guys, it's just someone telling us that they had a monster workout. And by the way, the workout is still just a workout. It's not a game or anything else. It's just a workout. It's worse, as bad as the NFL ones are. This stuff, worse.
Agreed, completely.
Because it's as devoid of meaning in some ways, because they're playing against air or whatever. And then B, no one's seeing it.
Yes.
But be that as it may, he may well have had a monster workout. Adrian further says that this means the Grizzlies, and not just the Grizzlies, but a bunch of other teams, including Sacramento, Atlanta, and the Grizzlies, will all be getting furious action as other players try to trade up to get Jaren Jackson Jr. How about that?
Is this better than your version of have Michael Porter have the huge workout?
Could just be a lie. It's another version of it. Well, this is all stipulating that I hate Jaren Jackson Jr. I don't.
Right.
You do.
I don't hate him. I'm agnostic towards him.
I don't. So then the other news, and this is news that I will be complete. I think I can say this, that Chris Harrington knew as he was sitting here yesterday, because he told me, that Wendell Carter was in yesterday for a secret workout. It was off the record. He was not allowed to say that he was in here for a secret workout. But I will tell you that whatever publication, wherever Chris Harrington ends up, whatever top secret publication Chris Harrington ends up, you'll want to read that. Because he knew yesterday, as I was sitting here talking to him, that Wendell Carter was in here for a secret workout. He knew it before anyone else knew it. And he was in here for a secret workout. It is the only
secret workout.
Why secret?
I don't know. Because I guess they don't want
a secret workout that they then revealed later.
I guess they didn't want it getting out there working out Wendell Carter. But the question is why?
Why do we care? I will say parenthetically that in terms of drumming up excitement for this draft, Grizzlies aren't doing a great job of it.
No, I would say they're actually doing a bad job of it.
Aren't they? Like, compared to the Phoenix thing, where the guy's talking all the time about monster workouts and whatever, and the GM's out there everywhere. I mean, I understand they have a different approach now, but they aren't doing a great job of, considering they don't have a lot to sell. One thing they have to sell is this draft. You would think they would be out there everywhere talking about everything. But there you go. So Wendell Carter, and that would suggest the Wendell Carter scenario. Like, why Wendell Carter? You don't take him at 4. Nobody thinks you take him at 4.
Right.
It could be that they do anyway. That happens. Celtics took Jaylen Brown higher than anyone thought the Celtics should take Jaylen Brown. So it's possible that they like him higher than you think. I think the more likely scenario, and it fits with the Adrian Wojnarowski thing, is people are going to be desperate to get up and get some of these players, and that means the Grizzlies may be in a position to trade down.
Yay.
Okay. So we're now going to go over, with all of this in mind, and also the Michael Porter Jr. wildcards out there. He had one workout. He's having another workout later this week. Bagley worked out for Arizona. He's going to work out for Atlanta later this week. He's not going to work out for anyone else. Jaren Jackson Jr. worked out for Phoenix. He's going to work out for Atlanta later this week. Weird that Atlanta's getting all these dudes, where Memphis, at least so far, isn't. But so here's my question for you.
Okay.
What is your dream scenario? What is your nightmare scenario? And what is your prediction in terms of who will be a Grizzly at the end of the night?
Dream scenario is Doncic falls to 4.
Okay, let me press you on that.
Okay.
Is he really a dream if he's fallen to 4, if he's not that athletic?
I have two deals on the athletic thing. Like, is he the most, like, does he look like he's running on a trampoline or jumping on a trampoline? No. But I do think people are discounting. He's big. He's legitimately 6'9 at 18 and a half, 19 years old, whatever he
incredibly
is.
Like, skilled, 6'9, like, smart.
To me, the athleticism always comes down to the question of who can you guard? Well, he can guard 4 positions. So I'm less concerned about that.
Okay. Dream scenario, Doncic falls to 4.
And I think if Doncic falls to 4, I think all the people that would have been lukewarm at best on him to even negative towards him. I think if they got him, if you get him at four, I think it creates a situation where everyone's like, okay, I'm cool with that.
Okay. So the second one is
nightmare.
Nightmare.
I agree with your premise that if you have the fourth overall pick, you are less likely to draft a difference maker, a franchise player, the farther back you go. So to me, nightmare scenario is laying back.
Trading back is your nightmare scenario.
Yep.
Is trading back to seven and getting Wendell Carter.
Yep.
What if it is, in fact, the Bulls trade, though, where you're getting, what is that? Is that
I think the Bulls
seven
have
24?
Yeah. Still don't care.
Still don't care.
Nope.
You don't think, hey, we're getting the same player at seven that we would get at four, and so, therefore, we're getting an extra first-round pick and two bites at the apple.
Don't care.
Don't care.
Don't care.
Okay, nightmare is trading back, and what's your dream scenario? Are you getting, what's your likely? Who's your prediction?
I think at this point, the more you read it, it seems like Luka can actually fall to four.
So your prediction is Luka.
Because don't you think, because this would be my thing. It appears Ayton is going to Phoenix. Can we say that that seems to be...
Seems highly likely that
seems the most likely. Phoenix. Okay, now the more and more you read, and again, it could be smokescreen season, but it seems that Marvin Bagley is going to Sacramento. More and more people think that that's going to happen. I don't know what it is, and at that point, Atlanta doesn't have a great need for Luka.
Well, I'm looking at a ESPN recent mock draft, and that is exactly how they have it playing out. They have 8-1. They have Bagley 2. They have Jaren Jackson 3. And they have Luka 4. I think mine are very similar to yours. My dream scenario is that Luka falls to 4 because then people won't complain about it at 4. He's a perfect fit. He may well be one of the very best players in this draft. He's also a fit for the Grizzlies. He's a fit in a whole lot of ways. He's a fit both in terms of positional. He's a fit in terms of his approach to the game, honestly, fits in with Mike and Mark. And so that's my dream scenario, is that Luka falls to 4.
He allows Mike to play off the
my
ball.
My nightmare scenario is trading back and drafting Mikal Bridges. Because what the heck are you going to get? Like, what are you going to get? That what this team lacks is
Michael Green.
Superb, stunning, dominant talent. What we realize wins in this league is dominant talent. And if you're trading from 4 to 7, you're just, and you say, listen, we can get the, A, if the player is so awesome, whoever it is you think you can get at 7, if that player is so awesome, who's to say someone's not taking him in five or six? So I just don't think you risk it. I want you to have a conviction on a player who's going to be a star, and I therefore, if you have that strong conviction that they're going to be a star, why would you possibly risk going from 4 to 7 and having someone else slip in and take that player? And it also suggests to me, if that happens, that that at the very least, you're not that enthused about any of these players, which is kind of a nightmare in its own way. I don't love that, right? It means that, they're all okay. And then B, you're giving someone else the opportunity to take the better player, which is how the draft is defined. So unless you're getting something truly extraordinary, like if you're getting, by all means, if by some miracle you somehow figure out a way to get your pick back from Boston in exchange for moving to 4 to 7, then do it.
Why would you put that idea out there?
That's impossible. But or something. Something truly, holy cow, can't pass that up. Then do it. That's my nightmare scenario. I think they're going to end up acquiring and trading for, not trading for, falling in their lap, Marvin Bagley.
Okay.
And the only question is the only difference that you and I have is which one of these players is going to slip, Luka or Bagley.
Right.
But I think they are, in fact, going to get Luka or Bagley. I don't. It's possible that the Jaren Jackson thing is a total smokescreen by Woj that he's in the pot, you know, that he's doing an agent a favor. But it actually fits what Jaren Jackson is. He is an incredibly long, incredibly athletic, good shooter who you could actually imagine having a monster workout, right? Everything you want. He's everything you want in the modern NBA.
Agreed.
And so I can absolutely see someone, one of the teams ahead of him, falling in love with him, or someone trading up to fall in love with him. Now, the only caveat there is that it may be that people are in love with him, and they'll be in love with him, so they trade up with the Grizzlies to get him. That he'll still get past 2 and 3. But I think he's going to Atlanta. That's what I think. I think Jaren Jackson is going to Atlanta. And so then it just is a question of what's Sacramento doing? Or is Sacramento trading out? And I just don't believe that Doncic is going to fall. I think people are going to end up looking at Bagley and looking at his deficiencies. Defensively, basketball IQ, sense of where he is on the court. They're going to ignore the fact that he put up huge numbers and that Marvin Bagley is going to fall to the Grizzlies and he will be the pick at number 4 and Memphis will rejoice and we will see how it happens. My man, my prediction is Marvin Bagley. Your prediction is Luka Doncic.
Yes, and the other thing we have to remember on Luka, he has not been put on the NBA nutritional program.
So he'll become quicker, is what you're saying.
And bigger and stronger.
And bigger and stronger. He's already big, yes.
I mean, thicker.
So you believe they're going to get Doncic. I believe they're going to get Bagley. Joe Bolinax is coming up next. We'll ask him who he believes they're going to get. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Men in the area have been working with the Memphis Men's Clinic to treat their ED for over 4 years. Now area men have experienced stellar results from wave therapy, the state-of-the-art treatment that uses a man's own healing agents to help make ED a thing of the past.
My name's David. I'm 46 years old, and I've been coming to the Memphis Men's Clinic for about 2 years. The doctor and staff at the Memphis Men's Clinic explained everything to me in terms I could understand. They explained the process completely, so I wouldn't have any confusion about what it was or why it works. And the procedure was quick and painless. I wasn't expecting the kind of results I got. I didn't think noticeable gains could be made so easily, but the results have been very strong.
Call the Memphis Men's Clinic today to schedule a consultation for just $99. Learn how wave therapy from the Memphis Men's Clinic can help you regain your performance. Call today, 901-443-0304. 901-443-0304.
Stop by Lowe's to make this a Father's Day to remember with deals for dads that he's sure to love. For the dad who likes to tinker under the hood, get him a Kobalt 227-piece mechanics tool set with standard and metric tools, now just $99.98. Or if grilling out is more his taste, choose from select grills up to 30% off. All projects have a starting point. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through 6/20 while supplies last. See store for details.
How many times a day can you fuel up and go with better-for-you options at CVS Pharmacy? Let's find out. It's 8 a.m. and you're leaving the gym. You head to CVS to refuel and boom, 99-cent vitamin water. That afternoon, the slump hits. Vending machine? Nope, CVS, where boom, Velveeta bars, 2 for $6. Finally, it's 5 p.m., so you hit CVS before the commute and boom, Pure Leaf Tea, 2 for $3. Stop by CVS Pharmacy and fuel up and go on smarter snacking and beverage options. Restrictions apply. See cvs.com/weeklyad for details.
I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. Last year, I was driving to a court-ordered mediation. Suddenly, a semi-truck was moving at a high rate of speed into my lane. It was all in slow motion. And then, as I attempted to brace for the worst, I watched as my car disintegrated, parts and metal flying like a tornado. Then it was over. I had survived. I was lucky. But so many of our clients are not this lucky. Car accidents destroy lives and families in seconds. Lifelong injuries and lost earnings, the loss of doing things we once loved, paralysis, and even death. As I sat there thinking of what could have been, I thought of all my clients all these years who weren't so lucky. Life is precious, but also fragile. And if you're wondering what the truck driver said to me when he realized who it was he crashed into, his face said it all. Call me if you need me on your cell phone at Pound Law. Pound Law, that's all. Morgan & Morgan. ForThePeople.com.
A short-term loan at Ace Cash Express is an easy way for you to cover unbudgeted expenses, and it's never been more convenient to apply. Come see us at one of our neighborhood locations or visit from your computer or smartphone at acecashexpress.com. Every loan at Ace is backed by a 72-hour satisfaction guarantee. If you change your mind, just bring back the money you borrowed within 72 hours and we'll call it even.
All loans subject to approval. Loan should be used for short-term financial needs and not as a long-term solution. Customers with credit difficulties should seek credit counseling.
Ace Cash Express, earning your trust since 1968.
Spending the summer seeing all 50 states.
Ready, jump!
From 13,000 feet in the air. Check. Whatever you're getting ready for, come into Supercuts. Supercut stylists pay attention to every detail, so you get the haircut you want. And with our signature hot towel finish, you'll walk out feeling clean, sharp, and not just ready, but super ready.
Check out our newest location at 5224 Airline Road in Arlington, or log on to supercuts.com to find a location near you.
Double Fuel Point weekends are back at Kroger. Get your coupon and a weekly ad on the app or at Kroger.com. Limited time only. Restrictions apply. See website for details.
92.9 FM, 680 AM, and 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
I'm hungry for some love and some fried chicken. Bugged out greasy, finger licking. I know just where to go. There's this woman I know, she shakes it up right and lets it simmer real slow. Memphis women, fried chicken. Memphis women, fried chicken. Over on Union, there's a good old gal. She can smoke a pig, she can fry some fowl. She got this.
I was tweeting out the fact that Joe Mullinax is joining us now, and so it took me a little longer, so the song was playing a little longer than usual.
Mm-hmm, but you didn't mind.
That's a song I don't mind playing a little bit longer than usual. Joe Mullinax, of course, you can read his stuff over at SB Nation's Grizzly Bear Blues and follow him on Twitter at Joe Mullinax. He joins me now. Joe, how are you feeling?
That was a terrific song. I'm feeling pretty good, to be honest with you, Jeff. My Washington Capitals are having their parade today. not able to make it down to D.C. for the parade, but I'm watching it on television. I'm excited about that. And as I mentioned earlier on Twitter, I can't begin to tell you what a career achievement it is for me as a blogger to be on the same show as my namesake, Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
Thank you for making that happen for me, Jeff.
Yes, sir. It was all very carefully elaborated.
I know.
Very carefully planned. Okay. It feels like to me things are heating up a little. Maybe it's just interest because the games are wrapped up, and so now we can fully focus on some places free agency. But here's the draft. But then yesterday we get the report of Jaren Jackson Jr. having a monster workout with Phoenix. And we know the Grizzlies had Wendell Carter in. If you look at those two things, it suggests, well, maybe trade down is the way to go. How are you sizing things up right now?
Well, and you're right that interest, especially in the draft, has really been at a fever pitch, not just for the past couple weeks, but for a while. In terms of site traffic over at grizzlybearblues.com for the last month, we're over double what we were last year. Now, remember, last year we didn't have the first-round pick, you know, Dylan Brooks, and that was the eventual end result of the draft. But when you look at where we're at in Memphis and you look at the reports coming out of places like Phoenix and Chicago, that the Michael Porter Jr. hype machine is similar to the Jaren Jackson one, you know, everybody talks about Luka Doncic and his hype machine. Whenever you see these reports, whenever you see these Twitter updates or whatever it might be, I retweeted this. I wish I could remember the name off the top of my head, but on my Twitter timeline, somebody, anytime you see a report like that, you want to think who benefits from this information being out there. Who would give that information? And you would know this better than me, Jeff. Who would benefit from getting that out to a reporter and having it be put out there for the public to take in for hashtag content? as you go up and into the draft. It's all about jockeying and positioning right now. You know, agents are trying to do their very best to get their player picked as high as they can, because the higher you're selected with the rookie salary scale, the more money you make, the more likely you are to get, you know, better incentives or to get a better second deal. There's a lot of money on the line. So whenever you see these kinds of posts, you take it with a grain of salt, at least I do. You watch the tape. You look at stats. You try to do your own individual research. And you try to figure out how they fit in your own eyes as opposed to what a report might come.
I want to interrupt you real quick right there, because if you look at that, who was benefiting by this report that Jaren Jackson Jr. had a monster workout? I don't really think it's the Suns, because they're just going to stay put. So I don't think the Suns are much benefiting. Jaren Jackson Jr. obviously benefits because he wants to create as much buzz as possible. But the other teams that benefit, interestingly enough, I think are the teams at 2, 3, 4. It's those teams that are basically saying, so this could have come from Jaren Jackson Jr.'s camp, or it could have come from some opposing team's camp that is basically saying, if you want this prototypical future of the NBA 5, you're going to have to come up and deal with us and get him. So it could be a signal that Sacramento's trying to trade out, or that Atlanta's trying to trade out, or that Memphis is trying to trade out. It could be that, for example, that Sacramento really knows that Atlanta wants him, right? And so they're either trying to tell Atlanta they've got to come up and swap to get him, or they're trying to tell someone else, you got to get ahead of Atlanta to get him. I think those are the two scenarios. It's also possible, of course, he just had a monster workout. But even then, who wants out that he had a monster workout? Aren't those the sort of two broad categories of folks who would want out that he has a monster workout?
I think so. And I do think that you make a fair point there, that at the end of it all, it could very well benefit the Grizzlies the most. And I write about that over at the blog today. You see a situation where you assume Ayton goes one to the Phoenix. That seems to be locked in. But then you get to Sacramento, where things get a little bit more interesting. You know, the Kings have made interesting selections in the past, and there's no guarantee that they kind of stay on the straight and narrow this time around, Luka Doncic or Marvin Bagley. And you could foresee a scenario, I think it's unlikely, but you could see somebody try to trade up, get to Jackson at 2. You have Trae Young going to Atlanta for a workout with the Hawks. So if the Hawks somehow get that hype machine going, or if Trae Young's representation somehow gets him to Atlanta at 3, now you're looking at a spot where Memphis could be sitting there with both Luka Doncic and Marvin Bagley and Michael Porter Jr. all on the board at 4. There's a real chance where you could Danny Ainge somebody, maybe even. And somebody really likes Doncic or really likes Bagley and is willing to give up multiple first-round picks, or 2 first-round picks and a Jaylen Brown, like from Boston, something like that, where, you know, it'd be ironic if it happened with Boston. But you could see a scenario becoming more realistic than maybe it had been in the past, where Memphis could trade back. I think that's probably, you know, still iffy. It's on the table, and I think it's more on the table than maybe we realized initially. I do think they like Michael Porter Jr. They wouldn't be doing their due diligence if they didn't like him. I think Jaren Jackson Jr. has redeeming qualities, but his fit on the roster, whether you want to argue fit versus need versus best talent available, that's a separate conversation. But there's no denying that Jackson isn't the cleanest fit with this team that has so much money tied up in 3 players. They look like they're trying to win now. At least their roster is structured as such. So being at 4, with all of those factors considered, it all comes down to how the guys in front or the teams in front make their selections, and it goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning here. It comes down to how successful the hype machines are for all these various prospects.
It's just, it's the fit is interesting to me. I've always been anti-fit.
Sure.
And I will say that, of course, Chris Harrington is also anti-fit, that basically thinks you pick the best player, and yet he's anti-Bamba because it's such a bad fit. But he also, it's not just a fit with Mark. It's a fit in the modern NBA that he doesn't love there. So it's interesting how all this plays out. Yesterday I was listening to Jason and John as I was driving away from the studio, and Jason was making the argument on behalf of Michael Porter Jr., saying this front office needs a home run. It doesn't need a single. It needs a home run. He needs to get a star, and it's worth it to take the swing at Michael Porter Jr. because he's the home run. And what it reminded me of was the exact same conversation was had in the O.J. Mayo, Kevin Love year, where we said, gosh, they really got it. They don't need this adequate, decent career long-term NBA player like Kevin Love. They need the home run, and the home run is O.J. Mayo. So take a swing at that. That was the motivation for that. We need it. They need a star. And so what's interesting about it is that not only is that logic sort of, have I heard the logic before, but it all presupposes we know who's going to be the star. It's highly possible that Jaren Jackson is a bigger star than Michael Porter. To me, it all comes down to who's going to be the stud. Like, pick that dude. Who's going to be the stud? And the problem with the Kevin Love, O.J. Mayo thing was they didn't know who was going to be the star. And I don't take for granted that Michael Porter Jr. is going to be the star and Jaren Jackson isn't going to be the star. Do you? I don't know, but I don't take that for granted.
Well, that's why there's people that make a lot more money than me, at least, who have to spend the time to try to make that decision as educated in such an educated manner as possible. It's all educated guesswork. You know, you do all this work to spend all this time. You know, it's not like the Browns took Tim Couch all those years ago thinking, oh, God, this guy's not going to pan out, or Jamarcus Russell with Oakland. You know, they're going with NFL examples. With the NBA, you know, Kwame Brown or, you know, Greg Oden, you know, all these, unfortunately, history is the beat. You know, all these picks that have been made over the years, it's not like there haven't been scouting departments doing their best. And obviously there's factors that come into that ownership, making their choices and things of that nature. But you look at the most likely scenario. If the Grizzlies are at four, you see Ayton being taken at one. I still think Doncic goes two. I think it's a lot of noise around that. I think you could see Bagley go three. Atlanta goes with the best player on their board. I could definitely see Jackson being in that mix as well. But let's say those three go the way that it's been assumed they would all along. And you're sitting there at four and you have Jaren Jackson, who the advanced numbers love. You know, I know there's lots of folks that are huge fans of Jaren Jackson Jr. and the skill set. There's lots of folks that are fans of Michael Porter Jr. and what he could be. But at four, if that is the scenario that plays out, I'm nervous because Jaren Jackson Jr., you could at least argue that Bagley dominated the ACC, that Ayton dominated the Pac-12. They were players of the year. You know, they were right. Physically better and dominated those higher levels of play. Jaren Jackson Jr. only played 21 minutes a game. Now, you can argue it was foul trouble, and you can show me the per 40 numbers that several folks have pointed out to me. Oh, he fouled like Embiid did and all that, and that's all well and good. But between that and Tom Izzo not seeing him as a guy that you can depend on, to me, that just raises some red flags that make me nervous. Not saying I wouldn't take him. It just makes me pause. And then on the flip side, you have the Michael Porter Jr. health concerns. You know, Wallace said yesterday that at least he's alive. You know, they have confirmation of that. It's the first step for a Grizzlies draft pick, I suppose. But it's something that if that plays out, to me, it makes trading back even more likely or even more acceptable. Maybe not likely, but more acceptable in my line of thinking. Because once you get past those three, to me, a lot more questions rise up in terms of the value of, you know, do you take a guy who might be your best talent in Jackson, but, you know, Mike, Mark, and to a much lesser extent Chandler, their window is closing. How much does Jackson help you with that window being open if there is a window opening anymore?
But let me ask you
Porter
this.
Porter has the injury concerns.
Let me ask you this then. So
please.
First of all, I think the odds that of it falling the way we have sort of feared and been are becoming increasingly shaky. I think there's a reasonable chance that it's not going to be Ayton, Doncic, Bagley in some order. I think it's 50 at least 50-50 that it will not be that. That maybe Atlanta will take Jackson, or that someone else will take Jackson,
agree with that.
Or someone else will trade him. They'll love Bamba, or that who knows? Atlanta might take there is a 50% chance that it will not fall the way that we have been predicting it will fall, and therefore either Doncic or Bagley will be there at four. Don't you agree with that, that there's at least a 50% chance?
I do agree with that. Okay. I think the most likely of those is Atlanta taking Jackson instead of Bagley.
I agree
with that. Bagley makes the most sense being there at four.
That's why I have predicted that Bagley will be the choice at four for that precise reason. Okay, but let's just pretend that it happens that way. There you are at four. Don't you then... There must be at that point a player you like best. I don't know who it is, but there is a player you like best. How far are you willing to trade back in order to not get that player? Maybe the player is Michael Porter Jr. Maybe the player is Jaren Jackson. Maybe the player is Trey Young. Maybe the player is Wendell Carter. Maybe I don't know who that player is, but there is still at that point, you're going to have him ranked on your board and there is a player you like best. Why not just take that player? Unless, as you stipulate, you're given some crazy package of future first-round draft picks. But for, let's just say, Chicago's, would you take Chicago's two picks in exchange for that one pick?
No. I think the furthest I would go back is Orlando. And the reason I say that is my choice, you know, I was on with Eric a week or so ago, I believe. I believe in Michael Porter Jr. like he does in terms of if he's healthy, he's a home run, but I think you can get him at six because I believe Dallas really wants Jaren Jackson Jr. I think they see him as a fit for them long-term alongside Dennis Smith. I think that they don't necessarily want to win right this second, like Memphis says publicly, they want to get back in the playoffs. I think that Dallas could maybe be the team that could want Jaren Jackson. You could possibly flip 4 and 5 with them. I think that if you decide to go back to six with the Magic, I don't see the Magic taking Porter Jr. I think they'd want Trae Young. If he's still there on the board, I think they'd want Young to be their point guard, sell some seats in Orlando, and kind of be the scoring guard there for them. I would go back to six because I think once you get to seven or so, you open yourself up to somebody possibly taking Porter Jr. And I would feel better about six or seven Michael Porter Jr. than four Michael Porter Jr., if that makes sense. It's possible that somebody falls in love with him between now and then. It's possible that the health concerns get almost completely eradicated, and he could maybe even move up to two. You know, that's a possibility if Sacramento really gets sold on a 6'11" guy who can handle the basketball and score in a variety of ways. There's value there in the modern NBA, obviously. But those health concerns really have to be answered. And I don't think you're going to see fully what Porter is capable of health-wise. It's not like he's going in and he's playing 5-on-5 for these teams or he's playing full contact drills. You're not seeing the full scope of where he's at in his recovery. So I guess if you trade back, you get to six with Orlando, you get, you know, maybe a future first, a couple of seconds, that sort of thing, and you still are able to get Porter Jr., I would feel more comfortable with that. Now, if Bagley's on the board at four, I think I take Bagley. I don't think I even mess around with it. I think I make that pick. But if it comes down to Jackson or Porter, I think I'm willing to explore trading back to around six or five and seeing what I can get because you're so comfortable with one of those two guys, maybe you just want to try to get some extra value in exchange.
In that scenario, let's just say a trade to six, who's Orlando trading up to get?
I would argue Trae Young. I think Trae Young could be someone they would try to go up and get. There's been links there. They need a point guard, a scoring guard. Young could be that guy, especially if he's in the mix at three. It's possible that Atlanta might be doing that just to try to get somebody to trade up to three, trying to make people think that they actually might want Trae Young there in Atlanta. So I think it would be Young potentially for Orlando.
See, I'm not sure that Orlando thinks Young would go ahead of him. Like, in other words, if Memphis just stays put at four, they're not taking him, and Dallas is they're not taking him. So I don't know that there's much incentive for the Magic to go up and take him. But in that scenario, you'd have Young going at four to Orlando, you'd have Jaren Jackson Jr. going at five to Dallas, and then you would have the Grizzlies being able to take Michael Porter Jr. at seven. Your ideal scenario is a little bit discounted Michael Porter Jr. with extra assets. Is that it? Or is your ideal?
Well, my ideal scenario would be Doncic falling to four. That's my ideal.
Okay.
If that
that's
were
what you want
to happen, I would be doing backflips at the watch party here in a week or so, which would be very impressive for me to do. But I would be very excited if Doncic fell. Bagley would be fine at four as well. I would explore, be willing to try to move out of the pick if both of those guys are off the board. But I also would be okay. I prefer Porter if he's healthy and as proven as it can be, understanding that it's likely it won't be fully proven. I would go Porter over Jaren Jackson Jr. But that's me here today. You know, that's stuff that, you know, Porter Jr. could go to a workout and his medicals not fully check out. And any question that you might have health-wise beyond that, I think it makes a huge red flag and you can't draft it. But this is assuming that all that we hear is true. You know, Chris Wallace is going to see with his own eyes for a second time what Porter can do. If he checks out health-wise, which, again, the Grizzlies don't have great history with in recent times, then I would say you got to go Porter Jr.
Okay, last question. Again, talking to Joe Mullinax from Grizzly Bear Blues on Twitter, at Joe Mullinax. Rank the top five players. Leave Ayton out of it. He's gone. The top five players who the Grizzlies might take in order of season ticket sales, in order of excitement. Who could they draft who will create the most excitement down to five of the likely scenarios?
Interesting. I would probably put Michael Porter Jr. one. I think he is a marketable star. I do think there's a star quality to him, as Jason has mentioned, Eric has mentioned as well. The ability to score, his offensive acumen, I think Porter would be one. I would go Doncic, too. I think you can sell him as a young European star, you know, kind of pair him with Mark, that sort of thing. I think Doncic would be the second one, at least for me. I'd probably go Bagley third. I think Bagley is a 20-10, you know, a more athletic Zach Randolph type of guy. That's possible for him. That's likely what he can do. So I'd go Bagley three. I'd probably go Jaren Jackson four. And then maybe actually I would go Trae Young four. Trae Young would probably be four again as a scorer. He's not going to come to Memphis. I agree with you on that, Jeff. But just going by marketability,
yep,
I'd probably go Trae Young four and then Jaren Jackson five.
I think I'm going, in terms of excitement, Bagley one. I think Bagley would excite more people than anyone else. Porter two, Doncic three, Trae Young four, and then Jaren Jackson five.
Okay. I think we're close there. I'm interested as to why Bagley would be more than Porter. I guess.
Again, I think those are close. I think those are close. People like the sort of mystery that is Porter and he's Kevin Durant Jr. and whatever else. But they also like the big numbers that Bagley has put up, and they're without the risk. I think they're both big names, big number guys, popular players. I think those two are very clearly the top two in terms of excitement. And then there's a significant drop off to Doncic at three, at least from my listeners. Like, there's not a lot of Doncic enthusiasm from my listeners and from people I talk to about Doncic at three. And then Trae Young would just be fun because he's gimmicky and he shoots and like that. Yeah, he's not a great fit, but he would create, well, maybe we got Steph. And then,
right,
and then honestly put the rest of them in a pile. Jaren Jackson Jr., Wendell, Carter, whoever it is, Abamba. I don't think any of those would create any more or less excitement. They all would feel like projects and it doesn't mean that in by the time we see him playing summer league, that wouldn't all changed. But I think that's in terms of that, I think that's how they would play out. All right, we got to take a break. Joe, thank you very much. You're awfully nice to join us, and we'll perhaps talk to you again before or after the draft. Thanks.
Absolutely. Would be happy to do it. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, thanks. What do you make of that question that I just asked, Jeff?
I agree with you, because I think if you break it down this way, I think if you presented and the Grizzlies with the fourth pick, they select Marvin Bagley the third, and then you had an audio clip of the Grizzlies select Michael Porter Jr., I still think the bigger pop would be Bagley.
That's my sense. The other thing I wanted to get to real quick, before we got to take a break, did you see the TV numbers on the NBA Finals?
At the end, weren't they? They were trash, kind of. Last two games, weren't they?
It's amazing what ESPN tried to spin in terms of the numbers. Like, various people have been telling me all along that this Kevin Durant thing is not a problem for the NBA because people just love superstars. Look at the ratings. And I've been saying it's a problem for the NBA. At the very least, in markets like Memphis and whatever. And it turns out it's a problem generally. In order to make this look good, ESPN had to say that these are up, I think, 10% from ABC's historical standard, meaning just like we're not going to look at last year and the year before.
Right.
We're going to get it compared to historical standard. And then they said, and up whatever percent from the last sweep. So they're picking, they're cherry in order to get numbers that went up.
Correct.
They had to cherry pick numbers from that really are sort of irrelevant.
They were basically taking a standard
numbers and the truth of the matter is, in terms of last year and the year before and the year before, dramatically down. In terms of last year and the year before and the year before, dramatically down. And so anyone who tells you that this Durant stuff is good for the NBA
Well, and then the other aspect of it is, I don't remember if it was you or if it was Neil on a couple weeks ago or last week. They missed out on three possible games of finals.
Oh, there's no question. Like, in addition to the fact that the ratings for the actual finals were not great, were severely diminished, they also had fewer finals. So they got hit on in two places. But so don't let anyone tell you that everything is just hunky-dory. Let me just see if I can get the numbers here. That everything is just hunky-dory for the NBA because the numbers were down considerably. And I'm going to go and see if I can dredge these up for you very quickly amidst all of the Dennis Rodman stuff that's out there. Dennis Rodman bringing peace, of course, to... here we go. 2015, there were 19.9 million viewers. They had six games. This is average per game. 2015. 2016, 20.2 million viewers. That won seven games. 2017, there were 20.4 million average viewers a game. That won five games. 2018, 17.65 million viewers and just four games. So in a year, they went from 20.4 million viewers a game for five games. And the year before, 20.2 million a game for seven games. To this year, 17.65 million viewers for just four games. It was a disaster. It was a disaster for the NBA. Kevin Durant, no, he does not help. Chris Harrington coming up next. After that, Samoa Joe. It's a Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
When your dad tells you he doesn't want anything for Father's Day, he actually means it, perhaps because there's a good chance he doesn't even know it's Father's Day. But hopefully, he's raised you well enough to show some gratitude anyway, and now's a good time to recognize what he... or a stepdad or a granddad or a dad-to-be in your life means to you. So if you are right now shopping for Father's Day, it's coming up June 17th, by the way, make it count with some fresh hand-cut steaks from Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop. We all know Folks Folly. It's the original Memphis Steakhouse. But did you also know that you could pick up those same steaks as well as their crab legs, lamb chops, even a great-looking apron or steak knives? Everything you could possibly need for a fabulous Father's Day gift, you can get it all at Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop, which is right next door to Folks Folly. And if you want a gift for a dad who doesn't live in Memphis, no problem. Humphrey's can ship overnight anywhere in the country. So stop by Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop at 551 South Mendenhall or online at humphreysmemphis.com to get everything you need to grill like a legend.
So it's Jeff Calkins here for Cooper Systems. For the longest time, my former employer wouldn't let me do endorsements, so I couldn't tell you that I'm a Cooper Systems customer myself. True story. When my laptop got all tangled up with viruses, I went to Cooper Systems. When I needed a reasonably priced laptop for my sons, Cooper Systems. And why not? For more than 30 years, Cooper Systems has been serving the computer needs of Memphians. Got networking challenges? Cooper Systems can plan, design, install, and maintain your network. Need help with data recovery? Cooper Systems experts can handle that. Crack screen? No problem. Oh, and if you're in the market to buy a computer, Cooper Systems prices are typically half the price of big box stores. They've got big name brands like Apple, Dell, Hewlett Packard, Toshiba, Lenovo, and more. And if you're a gamer or know someone who is, like my sons, Cooper is the best in the city at building and customizing a complete gaming system to fit your needs within your budget. So call Lee and Lauren Cooper at 360-9679. That's 360-9679. Or just stop in and visit them in the Mount Moriah office park.
One of the scariest things that can happen to a guy is that first morning you wake up, you look in the mirror, and you start to realize you're going thin up top. Two out of every three guys are going to start losing their hair by the age of 35. 35! You're still a young dude at that point. You're going to start losing your hair? then think about it. A year from now, it's all gone. And everybody used to think that as soon as you start losing your hair, that's it. You can't stop it. It's genetics, it's father time, and there's no way you can prevent it. Well, guess what? That's wrong. 4hims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, and sexual wellness for men. Prescription solutions backed by science, written by a doctor, delivered to your door. You don't have to lose the flow. Go to 4hims.com/winner and get started for just $5 while supplies last. This would cost hundreds if you went to a doctor or a pharmacy. So go to 4hims.com/winner. That's FORHIMS.com/winner. 4hims/winner.
Internet providers promise small businesses a lot. Let's hear who really delivers more. Comcast Business offers fast gig speeds across our network. AT&T doesn't. We offer more complete reliability with up to 6 hours of 4G wireless network backup to keep your business connected. AT&T, not so much. We offer 35 voice features that businesses care about and solutions that grow with your business so you never miss a call. AT&T, no way. Clearly, Comcast Business gives you more. Call 1-800-501-6000 to get 75 megabit internet on our gig speed network for $49.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.